Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And this week, Kevin and I are honored to welcome back to the show Fargo Moorhead right-hander Davis Feldman. Davis, thanks for joining Kevin and I tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
So, Davis, tell us a little bit about last year. You got off to that really great start and then got signed. And so what was that experience like for you in your time at Affiliate Ball?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that's everyone's goal, is to get picked up by an affiliate team. But, you know, kind of in the meantime, I loved being in Fargo, you know, doing everything I could to help the team win, because winning the championship in 22 was the best season I've ever had playing. So, you know, just trying to do everything to repeat that, and, you know, also trying to do well for myself to try and live out a childhood dream. And, you know, got the chance to do that with the Blue Jays, and which was awesome, you know, super emotional, and, you know, kind of all the hard work that went through, you know, 6 years of college and a couple years of indie ball. So finally getting that opportunity was, you know, awesome. And, you know, once I got to affiliate, starting in AAA, kind of a rough start. You know, it's first time in affiliate, you know, trying to learn the ropes of everything and, you know, get situated and meet everybody and learn kind of how things roll. But then settled in and, you know, had a good end of the year, went up to AA and didn't allow a base runner in, you know, almost seven innings, I think. So didn't allow a base runner, ended on a really good note, had a lot of momentum going into the offseason. You know, put in a lot of work this offseason, put on about 12, 15 pounds, feeling great. And then had a little setback this offseason. So I was kind of in rehab during spring training. You know, didn't really get the opportunity I wanted to compete and earn a spot. And, you know, unfortunately, they let me go. But, you know, I'm happy to be back in Fargo chasing that dream again. And, you know, obviously the goal is to get picked up again. But, you know, like I said before, we've had success in Fargo. And I want to do everything I can to win, because that culture up there is amazing. It's, you know, part of the reason I wanted to go back. Coast was one of my first texts after I got released. You know, just saying, hey, if there's a spot for me, I'd love to be back. And I had a couple other offers from other indie ball teams, but, you know, I always wanted to be back in Fargo if it could have worked out that way. And I'm glad it did. So I'm excited to be back and, you know, do this thing all over again.
With it being your first foray into affiliated baseball, could you narrow down to one thing that really surprised you about something that you learned and something that you could impart to somebody else that would potentially get signed in, have that too also be their first shot at affiliated baseball?
Yeah, I think the work that gets put into, you know, the everyday lifestyle of those guys. Not that I didn't work hard before, kind of understand that there was a lot of hard work going into it, but, you know, just seeing it day in and day out, during this year in spring training when, you know, you're there with the big league guys and, you know, I'm in the hot tub with, you know, Bo Bichette and Vladdy Jr. and those guys, you know what I mean? So it's cool to see, you know, the work that gets put in on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, just, you know, the data and technology that goes into everything and everything there and how structured everything is and, you know, minute by minute, pretty much your day is laid out for you. So, you know, just that was the biggest, you know, thing I had to learn, just kind of how, you know, to manage everything that went on that with affiliate ball. It was just, you know, eye-opening and, an awesome experience. And, you know, I'm super appreciative of the Blue Jays and I mean, my first opportunity to be in affiliate ball. And, you know, I learned a lot and had a lot of good teammates and coaches and that I still talk to on a daily basis. So, you know, it's awesome. But yeah, I think the biggest thing was just, you know, just seeing how hard everybody works. And, you know, there's so many talented guys. So it's hard to separate yourself. You know what I mean? It's things to, you know, separate yourself and, you know, the work that gets put in, not the beginning, but the stuff you do, you know, the thing that separates the guys.
Yeah,
I'm curious from you, Davis, is that you had such a great end to last season, and I know you come in with a little bit of an injury to start the year, but does the club at least say to you something like, hey, if you get back off to a good start after you're healthy and you're rolling with Fargo, we'd love to have you back here? Or, like, what does that departure look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, they called me into the office and pretty much just said, you know, there's that new rule in minor league baseball where organizations have to cut down the rosters to 165 this year, which is less than it was last year. I think there's, you know, 400 leaguers this year than there was last year in baseball for the roster cut down. Strictly because of a numbers game, which is, you know, unfortunate in its own. But yeah, they just kind of said, listen, it's a numbers thing, but which, you know, tough to hear, obviously, because I wish I would have had a chance to, you know, compete first. In rehab, just a little fluke thing, but yeah, I mean, they said I did everything the right way, and they loved how hard I worked and all that stuff, and you know, keep my phone on, and you know, there's some interest for some other teams as well, but you know, everyone wants to make sure I'm healthy, and you know, but right now I'm focused on getting back up to Fargo, getting healthy, and you know, enjoying the time up there with the guys, and you know, seeing what we can do with that.
How did you feel about going into a situation where everything is so regimented and planned out, and there's so many statistical data that just goes into everything? Is there a part of you that just says, I want to just go pitch and play ball?
For sure. I mean, I think with it being my first time in affiliate, I was open to everything. You know, especially from like the analytical data and side of things, because I never really had that. Just to see how my pitches work and, you know, how everything was working. You know, pitching in the pitching lab down there and at the spring training complex and having all these different types of measurements and all this stuff to see how much I'm rotating, how I'm, you know, using the force in my back foot to create force on my front foot and all this, you know, all this stuff. I've never had that before. So it was cool to see, you know, I learned a lot about myself as a pitcher. So it was cool to see and cool to learn about all that stuff. But, yeah, there's definitely times where, you know, it's like, hey, instead of chasing the numbers on, you know, on the TrackMan or the Rapsodo or anything like that, it'd be nice to, you know, just go out and compete. And because that's what kind of got me picked up, you know, just, you know, being a guy that loves competition and just wants to go out there and, you know, win each pitch. So there's play into that. And I think everyone in affiliate ball kind of feels that to an extent. But, you know, I was, like I said, it was my first time in affiliate ball. I loved learning about all that stuff, and, you know, I was super open to it because, you know, it's kind of, I wanted to get a real taste of how everything was, you know, how the Blue Jays do it. You know, each org is different. The Blue Jays are an incredible org, and, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about them, and I'll always have a special place in my heart for them for giving me my first chance, and, you know, they do things the right way, and they got a great org and stuff, and so it was awesome to just kind of learn everything about, you know, what affiliate ball has to offer.
You know, I want to tell you, it's pretty exciting to hear you talk about gaining 12 pounds and being happy about it, because if I gained 12 pounds, I'd be, like, totally depressed right now. So tell me a little bit about what you hope those 12 pounds will do for you.
Yeah, just a lot of hard work in the off season, but, you know, the 12 pounds is – you know, trying to keep me more stable throughout the season. You know, last year, especially after I got picked up by the Blue Jays, I ended up losing like about 10, 15 pounds. I got down to like 185, which is the lowest I've ever been since high school. So, you know, the weight to put on was, you know, just to make me a little more powerful and just a little more stable throughout the season. So, you know, if I do lose weight this season, I'm still kind of at a weight where, you know, it'll be beneficial for me in my health. I think I kind of, you know, got a little too small last year. But that's just, you know, happens to a lot of baseball players during the season. You're just you know, you're at the field for 8-9 hours a day, and sometimes you forget to eat. So yeah, it was just trying to get stronger, trying to be more powerful, more explosive, you know. And to be honest, like trying to chase numbers when trying to throw 100, trying to get the most out of my body, the most power and the most speed I can get out of my body. So that was pretty much the basis of what the weight gain was for.
When you move to Double A, and you're just blowing guys away in those two appearances that you had up there, what was that like for you? How did you feel when you took the hill in those games?
To be honest, I felt way more comfortable in Double A than I did in Single A. I don't know if that's because it felt more of like an American Association feel of like, you know, guys were that age kind of and that talent level. Also, Joe Jones, former Red Hawk teammate of mine, was also in Double A with me. So, like having that buddy there, that you know, the comfort level, and you know, I just bounce ideas off of him and stuff, and sitting in the bullpen with him, and you know, just you know, talking about life and all that stuff. I think I don't know. I was just way more comfortable, and you know, the catchers obviously are very good, and I feel like in Single A, you know, those young guys are super, super aggressive with their swing. So, you know, you can throw a first pitch curveball, even if they're sitting first pitch fastball, if you throw a curveball anywhere in the zone, those young guys, they're so aggressive, they're just free swinging and they're just getting their hacks off no matter what. In Double A, you know, these guys are more experienced, a little more mature, and they're, you know, they're kind of sitting on one pitch, especially early in the count. So if you can get a hand early, toy with them and a little bit, and I think that's why I had success in Double A, is because you know I got ahead early, and then you can just expand the zone and get weak contact. So I don't know. I mean, end of the year, adrenaline pumping, first time in Double A, but to be honest, I really felt more comfortable in Double A than I did in Single A. Maybe it's because it was more of an American Association indie ball feel due to the age and stuff, and you know, having some guys there I knew beforehand, but I can't put my finger on it besides maybe those two things, but you know, I think it was just a comfort thing, to be honest. And obviously it was awesome to go up there and have pretty good success. So you know, I was carrying that into the off season. Unfortunately didn't get a chance to act on it, but you know, I'll act on it in Fargo and see what happens.
Have you got any indication of what they're going to look for from you in Fargo? Will you be starting like you did with the Red Hawks, or are you going to be in the bullpen like you were last season?
As far as I know, I'll be in the rotation, kind of like I was in Fargo last year, and you know, see what happens. But as far as I know, the talks I've had with you know Coast and everyone, I'll be in the starting rotation in Fargo.
Going to be a bit different this year in Fargo. Kevin McGovern moving down there to Mexico, and he was kind of the ace of the staff. I know that Tyler Grauer returning, but how do you see your role in that rotation? I mean, you could be the way you pitched last season could definitely be the top guy in that rotation. Are you coming there to be the ace of the staff this season?
Yeah, I mean, so actually when Fargo tweeted it out yesterday that I was coming back, I was kind of reading through their little article they wrote. And it said this is be my fourth season with the team. And I'm like, dang, I've been in Fargo. This is my fourth year already. It feels like I was just there for the first time yesterday. But I think, yeah, I mean, me, Grauer, DuBord is still there. From the pitching staff, I feel like us three are probably the most tenured guys there. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking to take a leadership role this year and, you know, maybe take that ace role, me and Grauer, you know. Gower's been amazing since he's been there as well. And, you know, DuBord holding that back end. And then all these new guys, there's some guys there that that are coming back that joined the team last year after I was gone. So I'm looking forward to meeting those guys, but there'll be a little continuity with those guys. And then, you know, you got the captain, Sam Dexter, coming back, and a couple other position players, Evan Alexander, Nick Novak. So, you know, there's still some continuity there, but there's also some new faces. So, you know, those guys that I've named and been there in the past probably, you know, take that leadership role, and it'll be good. You know, Fargo has a culture set and a standard set, and those that's from Coast and the guys that have come before. So, you know, we're just trying to, you know, keep that thing rolling no matter who's there. So looking forward to it.
I saw today they're tearing out the beer garden down the third baseline at Newman Outdoor Field. Now, did you guys use some bowl to get the beer garden taken out to get a bigger bullpen?
I saw that tweet as well. And as far as I know, I mean, I've only been talking with Coast for the last couple of days, but I mean, I guess we'll find out together because I have no idea. But I did see that tweet, and I'm interested to see what they're doing over there. Maybe a bigger beer garden because, you know, those guys like to get – well, and ladies, they like to get rowdy over there in that beer garden, so I'm interested to see what's going on.
So did you sit out in the bullpen between starts and kind of witness some of that firsthand?
Yeah, I'd go back and forth between dugout and bullpen if I wasn't starting that day, and you have some good interaction with those people in the beer garden. Some people are a little overserved, which is, you know, always great entertainment for us players, but yeah, you see some funny stuff going on, some good interactions with those people. So hopefully it stays because, you know, that's what makes part of being a player so much fun is those funny interactions with those fans. So
nothing wrong with people watching.
What? Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do.
Davis, what do you take away from affiliate ball, things that you think will help you this season, things you'd like to improve on after you had a season up there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I learned a lot. You know, just the experience that I got and the knowledge that I learned from, you know, not only the coaches but other players and stuff like that. And, you know, worked on some new pitches while I was there. So I think going forward is just kind of trying to act on those new pitches because, you know, when I was with the Jays, they're trying to make me get to the big leagues. So they're doing everything they think I should need to get to the big leagues. So I am working on taking what they gave me to try and do it in Fargo, and hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, win some games first and foremost, and then, you know, we'll see what happens with that, because when success happens, that's when the other stuff comes. So, you know, kind of the same mindset I had last year going into it, you know, try and help the team win games, especially every time I'm on the mound, and the rest of the stuff will kind of play out from that. But you know, just trying to work on these new pitches that I learned up in affiliate and, you know, make sure I can throw everything for strikes, pound in the zone, you know, kind of the same stuff as always, like we talked about earlier, you know, try not to lean too much into the analytics and all that stuff and, you know, just go out there and compete. But, you know, with this new knowledge that I have and, you know, the stuff that I learned, you know, trying to add that little bit at a time while also just, you know, staying to my roots and just going out there and competing.
You were talking about how when you moved up to Double A, the approach of a lot of hitters is different than you would see at the Single A level. Were you finding that your time in the American Association made it so that you didn't feel even remotely overmatched because you were facing guys with that same kind of talent level down there at Fargo?
For sure. I mean, I've told this before, maybe not to you guys, but especially when I was in affiliate ball. Everyone asks, how's indie ball? So a lot of these guys, you know, they get drafted right out of high school, out of college, and they have no idea what indie ball even is, or, you know, maybe they think it gets a bad rep or something. But I told them indie ball was the greatest thing I've ever experienced. I needed it. I wasn't good enough to play an affiliate when I came out of college. Indie ball made me the pitcher that I am today. So, you know, I for sure it helped me, like 1,000%. You know, playing in the American Association, especially in Fargo, like, you know, winning the championship in 22 and going through that playoff run and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, it definitely made me ready for, you know, for affiliate, especially Double A, because like I said, it's kind of the same talent level, kind of same age group. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, playing in Fargo, playing in indie ball, definitely made me the pitcher I am today and helped me tremendously when I made it up to Double A.
So what's the highlight of Manchester, New Hampshire? I mean, what's exciting to do in Manchester?
Whew. Yeah, that's the tooth, baby. Delta,
I didn't mean to
Delta
put you on the spot.
Delta Dental Park. That's, I mean, to be honest, it's one of the coolest things in the city. The tooth. We called it the tooth. But you know, there's a couple little dive bars that we'd go get some wings and sing karaoke at. But besides that, it's not, you know, not much popping. You know, Boston is an hour away, so that's not that bad. But in Manchester, you know, not much, nothing too exciting. Let's just put it that way. Good city though.
Now we gotta
loved it.
Now we gotta hear your karaoke go to song.
Ooh, well, my top two, "Friends in Low Places" and "I Love This Bar" by Toby Keith. R.I.P. Toby Keith. But, you know, mostly country stuff. Mostly country stuff. But "I Love This Bar" by Toby Keith and "Friends in Low Places," Garth Brooks, my two go-tos for sure.
Well, we got to see if they can get you out to do something there at the game one night. Maybe you could do like the national anthem or something like
that.
What about that?
Sing the national anthem. I don't know if they want me doing that, but, you know, that'd be that'd call for some good entertainment for sure.
Well, what I mean, you were talking about Blue Jays organization did a lot to help you along. What are your thoughts on, like, you know, organizations are different, like you're saying. So what's the focus of the Blue Jays organization? Like, what did you feel they were looking for out of their pitchers?
You know, they, I mean, like, again, I've only been in the Blue Jays org, so I can't speak for other orgs, but from what I've been told and what I can, you know, kind of see, the Blue Jays are one of the, you know, the top five teams that are, you know, advanced in the analytical side of things. You know, you think about the Dodgers and the Braves and maybe Tampa, you know, those teams that very successful, you know, kind of more modern, I would say, with, like, you know, the analytical stuff. And I think Toronto's right up there with those guys. You know, you talk to guys that have been in other orgs and come over to the Blue Jays org, and, you know, they say, like, this is, you know, the Blue Jays do it right. You know, they got, you know, you hear some horror stories from other orgs, but, you know, everyone that I've talked to, everyone that's, you know, talked about how things are done in the Blue Jays org and everything, they say they're one of the best and they do everything right. So, everything that I saw and experienced, same thing. Like I said before, I'm never going to say anything bad about the Blue Jays. I appreciate them a lot for giving me my first opportunity. I learned a lot, had a lot of fun. Wish it didn't end the way it did, but yeah, I mean, like I said, they were totally awesome. And it's cool to see all the, you know, the different ways they think about baseball, especially from the analytical side. You know, all the, and, you know, I'm a pitcher, so I only saw kind of the pitching stuff, but, you know, just the cameras and different stuff they have just to learn about each pitch. Like, they can go frame by frame and just, it's insane. So, yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it was awesome.
Very different pitching staff, as you mentioned, this year, only a couple of guys that you pitched with at the starting of last year. So, what, you know, how do you build that camaraderie with you guys again? Because, you know, some of these guys hadn't played with the team, maybe just a little bit last season. So how do you, you know, reunite yourself and get this group really moving forward toward a championship again?
You know, that kind of starts, like I said earlier, it kind of starts with Coast and the top down and the culture we have in Fargo. It's a great culture. Everyone loves playing there. There's always, you know, great teammates there, always have a lot of fun. So I think it's just the culture that that Coast has set there. And, you know, as far as just the pitchers, you know, we're kind of doing our own thing for most of the day. The hitters are hitting BP, all that stuff. Pitchers, we're in the outfield shag and we're throwing together. We're playing hacky sack together. We're sitting in the bullpen together. So you get to know the guys. You get to just, you know, talk and learn about them and kind of learn things that you have similar in common, and, you know, their life stories and all this stuff. So just being around the guys, doing things off the field, hanging out. But just the time we spend together just as pitchers, you know, you learn a lot about everybody. And you know, Coast doesn't bring in anyone to Fargo that doesn't think will mesh well with everybody else. That's the biggest thing that I've learned from being in indie ball in Fargo and you know, seeing, especially being an affiliate where, you know, there's so many guys, and obviously not everybody gets along because there's so many players, but being in Fargo, Coast and those guys, Jeff Bittiger, those guys, they don't bring in anyone to Fargo that won't mesh with the guys. And that's credit to them. That's credit to the culture, like I've said. So I think it'll be very easy to, you know, to get on board with those guys and smooth transition to, you know, doing some good things.
After such a successful season last year for you personally, do you have different kind of goals approaching this year than you might have in a previous season?
No. To be honest, I think I'm just, you know, kind of I'm in the same boat I was last year. I know there's different experiences in between, but as of right now, I'm in the same boat I was last year, and kind of going in with that same mindset. You know, I feel like last year I started to become the best version of myself, especially on the mound, you know, as a person as well, but especially as a baseball player. I feel like last year I was kind of just hitting my stride to, you know, to the type of pitcher I want to be, and, you know, that carried into me picked up and me having success in Double A and that stuff. And I know getting released is, you know, kind of a shot to the heart, and, you know, it could defer you from, you know, still having that confidence about you. But, you know, another part of the big reason I wanted to come back to Fargo is, you know, the success we did have, you know, as a team and individually. I feel like that's kind of just, you know, me going back to Fargo, knowing the confidence I had pitching there with the guys behind me and, you know, the coaching staff there, and, you know, just the familiarity with everything. And just, I think as a pitcher especially, but like just being comfortable where you're at and being confident where you're at, goes a long way. So that was a big reason why I wanted to come back to Fargo. And, you know, I'm kind of coming in with the same mindset, just do what I can to help the team win. And then, everything will kind of fall into place. I think I said that in the podcast or the interview last year with you guys. You were asking me about if anyone had reached out to me or anything, and I just said, you know, I'm kind of staying out of it. I'm kind of just doing my thing to help the team win, and, you know, those things will fall where they may. But that's kind of the same mindset I have going into this year. Obviously, you know, my dreams are to get picked up again and make the big leagues. But, you know, right now I'm a Red Hawk, and we'll go do everything I can to help the team win, and that other stuff will all play itself out.
Kevin McGovern was the pitching coach last season. And with him gone, I don't know if Fargo has named a new pitching coach, but is that something you could see yourself doing either now or somewhere in the future?
Maybe not now, but in the future, it definitely be something I see myself doing. I think this year, you know, Coast is fully back, and Renzer, and, you know, you got Lopey in the bullpen with us. So I think, you know, if they don't end up naming anyone as a pitching coach, you know, I think we got enough coaches and guys like me, Dubord, Grauer, you know, those guys that have kind of been there for a while to kind of just all help each other out and do that. 'Cause that's what's special about indie ball. You know, it's a little more, you know, helping each other out, a little more team oriented, I would say. And, you know, I think that's what makes it super special. But, you know, whether we hire someone or not, I think, you know, we got the guys in place to be just fine.
Well, Kevin and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, Davis. So it's good to talk to you because, you know, it seemed like the world was going to come to an end yesterday with the solar eclipse. So did your life get tragically altered by the events of yesterday?
No, I had just gotten home from working out, and I texted my mom. She's a teacher, so I texted her, and I was like, hey, do I really need these glasses to look at this thing? Because, like, I don't have any, and I don't feel like getting any. And she was like, yeah, like, you really need the glasses, or else you're probably not going to be able to see anything, or maybe see again after if you look at it. So I was like, ah, whatever. So I turned on the TV, and then the first thing that came up on the TV was this, the total eclipse, and it was somewhere in Texas or something. And I was like, dang, that's pretty cool. And then everyone was wearing the glasses on TV and everything. So I texted my mom, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to come by your school and pick up a pair of those glasses. So I stopped by there, got a pair of glasses, and I just sat outside in my backyard in back home in Michigan, and I think we got like 98% totality or something, so it wasn't the cool stuff you were seeing on TV, but it was still pretty cool, and it was nice that it was 70 degrees in Michigan yesterday, so I got to just sit outside and enjoy it and by myself with those funny-looking glasses on, and you know, got to experience that.
Well, there you go. How about that? Well, Davis, Kevin and I appreciate you being on here tonight. Now, you've been on before, so you know that as a guest, you get to give us a final thought. So whatever you'd like to talk about, the floor is yours.
All right, so I think last year, I think my final thought was something about the Detroit Lions, I'm pretty sure.
That's probably true, yeah. Yes.
And, you know, they ended up having a pretty good year, so they probably should have won the Super Bowl this year. Definitely win the Super Bowl next year, but no, final thought for this, you know, I'm excited to be back in Fargo. Obviously it was, unfortunate the way the Jays thing ended, but, you know, it hasn't deterred me from still chasing my dream and, you know, still wanting to grind and get after it. And I still think I'm on the upward trend of being the best version of myself on the mound. And, I'm excited to be back in Fargo. I chose to be back in Fargo. But obviously super thankful for Coast and everyone that, you know, is behind the scenes there for, you know, helping bring me back and giving me another chance, and excited to get back up there and start the season on May 10th. Is it the 10th?
May 10th for you guys. Yeah, that's correct.
There we go. See, there we go. So yeah, no, I'm super excited to be back.
Fantastic. Davis Feldman, thanks for joining Kevin and I this week.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Kevin.
Well, Kevin, great having Davis back on the show. Sad to see him back in the American Association because he was doing so well up there at Affiliate Paul, but good he's back in Fargo.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it's kind of bittersweet, you know. Glad to have you back, but we wish you were gone. You know, one of those deals.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, still a young guy, 25 years old, proved that he can go up there and pitch with the best of them at Double A. I mean, 6 1/3 innings and didn't allow any runners at all. You know, that's a pretty impressive way to close out your affiliate season last year. So, sadly, the injury kind of sidetracked him a little bit, but I'm hoping that this leads to another opportunity if he gets off to a hot start here in Fargo. And, you know, Kevin, he's back with a manager who he had a lot of success with, so it's a good chance that he's going to have success this year season as well.
Yes, and, you know, I think you indirectly, talking about the injuries, have kind of hit on a red trigger topic thus far in the major leagues, is all of these arm injuries that we're seeing happen, and is it related to guys having to throw harder than ever, or is it related to the pace of the pitch clock?
Interesting. Very interesting. You know, a few days ago, I was just looking at some of last year's team stats for major league teams, and I was thinking to myself, some club won like the home run crown with like 230 home runs. And I was thinking to myself, like the team that finished with like 162 was like 17th in the league. And I didn't think it was very long ago that we were talking about 130 team home runs was a lot. I'm thinking that's like nothing now. What happened in baseball that all of a sudden, I mean, I understand they said for the longest time that everybody loves the long ball or whatever kind of thing, but good Lord, I mean, it's like, this is all baseball is strikeouts and home runs. Is that where we've come down to all of a sudden?
I think it is. I mean, everything is ramped up. You know, the pitchers are throwing harder than ever. The batters are swinging harder than ever. And when you have a contact of a guy throwing 100 with a guy that's got you time, because that's all he's seeing now is 95 to 100 miles an hour. His swing is triggered for that. You know, you throw 95 in the majors now, you're just another pitcher. Dial it back about 20 years ago. If you threw 95, you were like this hard-throwing flamethrower that would be in the back of the bullpen. Now, yeah, middle relievers going out tossing 94 to 96 miles an hour. So it's just a different game. The batters have gotten stronger. The bat speed's gotten faster, and the pitchers are throwing harder. And what was that? Force math against force equals whatever.
Yeah. Force equals math times acceleration. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're a little better educated than I was.
It's just crazy to me to see these kind of stats nowadays, because I just think, wow. And the thing I guess that bothers me about it, Kevin, is that I don't feel like baseball is better because of this. Like, it's not like, you know, when all of a sudden there's a bunch of teams that have stolen bases, lots of stolen bases, like the Cardinals were doing in the 80s. It made baseball better and more fun to watch, but just a bunch of home runs and strikeouts. I mean, that just seems like if I'm watching basketball and I'm just watching two teams run up and down the court in a 130, 128 game, it's like everybody's just scoring. What's exciting about this? And that's how I feel about strikeouts and home runs now. Everybody's doing it, so what's the big deal?
I was at a restaurant in Des Moines, Iowa on Saturday afternoon before going to a hockey game. And MLB Network was on the big screen in front of me, and they're going from game to game to game. And it's just, baseball to me has just become so sterile. Just from the look on the players to the field, it felt like you were watching a video game every game that they would go to. Because you'd have, you know, not only would you have like the actual game itself, but they'd be popping all these statistics on, and it's not the same game that I used to enjoy going to the ballpark to see back in, you know, the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's not to be a homer about this whole thing, but it's one of the things I like about American Association Baseball is that the Frontier League Baseball, is that you get to enjoy the strategy of things, because you may only have one guy that throws near 99. You may only have one or two really big power hitters. So you have to do the small things to wind up winning games and to be a championship club. And even last year, when you look at Kansas City, you know, you have an incredible season out of Chris Herrmann that you know, leads that team to a championship kind of thing. But it was all those other guys. It wasn't the 170 home runs they hit the season before, you know, kind of thing. It was a team that was struggling and battling for runs out there. It was a team that was using three and four guys to close out games. And that, to me, is exciting. Can you count on a guy to close out a game? Can you count on a Brian O'Grady to come up with a huge hit for you that wins a championship? It's those kind of things that make it interesting. And I think that's what – I know the league doesn't tout this as part of it, but I think that's one of the things that makes American Association Baseball a lot more fun to watch.
And I know American Association wants to get involved more than ever in the statistical part of, like with the Rapsodo, to help these guys get to the next level. But what I like about the league is that, you know, if Jabari Henry hits a 420-foot homer, well, we know it's 420 feet because, well, Tanner Hoops or whoever your opposing broadcaster is just kind of made a guess on it. You know, we're not talking about, well, the ball came off his bat at 102 miles per hour on a pitch that had a spin rate of, no, we're hearing Jabari went yard on a ball that was probably a fastball.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, it's still baseball to me in this league.
Yeah. 100%.
That should be their slogan. It's still baseball to us.
It's still baseball. That's right. It's still baseball. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about what's going on out there in the league for transactions this week. And none bigger than Jose Sermo joining the Milwaukee Milkmen again, Kevin.
Yeah, way to go, Milkman. Making a big signing after we recorded our show last week. So if people were tuning in Friday wondering why we had nothing on it, that would be the reason. So teams, we've talked about it before, make your announcements on either Monday, preferably Monday, or sometimes on Tuesday, because it's all about us.
You know, Jose Sermon was on that championship club in 2020, Kevin, did not have a particularly great season. Started out in, if I remember correctly, the next season began in, returned back to Sioux Falls, Sioux City, I believe. You know, had another MVP type year, but be interesting to see how, what it looks like in Milwaukee again this year for Sermon.
Well, I mean, compared to 2020, he's not going to be facing the kind of pitching that the American True. Association had in that year, too. So, you know, within that, it will be interesting to see what he can do against the type of pitching he's seen the last couple of years that he's been able to terrorize.
Also, big news out of there is Cleburne, Kevin, loses catcher Justin O'Connor as he heads for Mexico. The guy we were just thinking is one of the best we've ever seen behind the plate in this league by the way he handled pitchers and could throw guys out. So that was a big loss for the Railroaders.
I was bummed to see that. I was looking forward to seeing Justin O'Connor back in the association. So we'll get on him to get noticed by the Mexican League.
Also, Cleburne signs outfielder Dylan Noose and catcher Michael Berglund will replace Justin O'Connor. They release right-handed pitcher Hunter Hoops and right-handed pitcher Jace Vines, lost by the club. They also signed left-handed pitcher Jacques Pouchot, I believe the way that is said, and outfielder Josh Broughton will join the club there as well. In Winnipeg, Kevin, they sign infielder Ramon Bramasco and outfielder Robbie Enriquez, but they the big signing was right-handed pitcher Joey Matulovic joining back on the club after such an impressive season for the club last year.
Yes, I thought that was a pretty nice signing by the Goldeyes. I'm looking forward to having him back in the league because it just seemed like he got better as the year went on, and he was quite a force in that rotation.
Yeah, a guy that just didn't get a lot of offensive support for him out there, and I think that's going to be one big focus. We know that Logan Watkins can build teams that hit. So Joey shouldn't be having much problem getting offensive support this year. So we'll get to see that as it's going along. Also, let's talk about Fargo besides signing our buddy Jason Feltman, who signed back with the club there we had on earlier in the show. They also add infielder Zach Valetich. And Sioux City signs left-handed pitcher Denson Hall and right-handed pitcher Evan Johnson. I think that was all they added. Yes, it was. Gary Southshore as right-handed pitcher Andres Diaz and left-handed pitcher Ryan Munoz. And then let's talk about Kane County here for a little bit. Kevin, they acquired left-handed pitcher Jordan Martinson from Kansas City. Jordan's been a guy that has had some great success against for Kansas City in the rotation, in the bullpen at times, too. Big left-hander, it looks like, joining George Samus.
Yes, he'll be a valuable piece of that staff there as a guy that, like you said, he can get you some outs from the pen and also be a spot starter.
Jonah Davis also signed by the team last year when that club could not hit at all in the first couple of months. Davis was the one guy, Kevin, that they really could count on. It'd be nice for the club to see this bat back on the lineup.
Yes, and I'll have some more protection for him this year and see what kind of numbers he can put up.
Left-handed pitcher Tommy Sommer, also signed by the team. This is an interesting one because they have him listed as a catcher. And so Claudio Fanol gets signed by the team as well and has like 9 minor league games as a catcher. And I don't know if he's trying to get another shot back in affiliate ball and sees catching as the way to get there. But I had to be honest with you, Kevin, when I saw George Samus signed a catcher and it was early April, I thought, there's no way. That never happened. So maybe he is trying to get another shot out there, but I was a little surprised to see a catcher signed this early.
Yes, and do we know the status of Hector Sanchez? Because Sanchez was a big part of that team at the end of last year. So maybe he's the ace in the hole that will be signed upcoming. We know how that works, where sometimes these guys have deals in place, but they don't announce them until they feel like they want to.
Yes, and George is very infamous for that kind of thing. The last signing is left-handed pitcher Brooks Goswin joining the Chicago Dogs this season. Chicago at this particular point, I believe them and King County have the fewest guys signed, with Chicago having one fewer, I think, right now is where we're at. Cleburne is filled on their roster in terms of guys that are officially signed by the team. And a lot of clubs are you know, really filling out those spots, Kevin, and we're getting, as you and I are talking here tonight on April 9th, it is 29 days till opening night to the season. So, wow, coming quick.
Yes, it is. You know, as a hockey guy, you just think, how am I going to make the adjustment to it? But, you know, even up here in Minnesota, we're looking at 76 degrees out on Saturday. So, you know, weather's getting warmer everywhere. The grass will be growing, and before you know it, we are all our weeknights from Tuesday through Sunday will be occupied in some form, shape, and or fashion with American Association Baseball.
Well, you're not kidding about that. Jumping around to the other partner leagues out there, no major deal that looked like a former American Association guy, except for Ryan McCarthy, who I believe pitched for the Gary South Shore Railcats, signed with Schaumburg. And then we also had Gateway was among a couple of teams out there that had their promotions listed out there, so you can go see what kind of stuff they have going on. And in the Atlantic League, they had a few guys from former American Association guys that were signed by clubs, and the biggest of those, Kevin, Frankie Barteau, leaving the Milwaukee Milkmen to sign with the York Revolution. And boy, last season he was in the bullpen a couple of years ago, big run to help the team get to the championship series, but last year was just dominant in the rotation. Big loss for him and by the team.
Yes, it is, and we'll just see what kind of role that Barteau has in store for him with the Atlantic League this summer, and I'm sure sure there was logic involved with the move.
Absolutely. Well, some other former American Association guys signing this last week as well. Nick Leo, Pittsburgh Sioux Falls, joins Lexington. We also mentioned Matt Bocher, I think, last week. We were talking about that a little bit, joined Lexington. Rudy Martin, former Winnipeg Goldeye, I believe, signed with York, besides Barteau. And I think it wasn't a former American Association guy, but I thought it was interesting that Pablo Sandoval, I believe it was the San Francisco Giants third baseman for like 5 or 6 years, signed with Staten Island. So I thought, wow, Atlantic League getting some big time guys after as well. So good for them. So interesting. Well, Kevin, I think that leads us to the end of the show. So do we have some shout outs for this week?
Well, right now I'd say the shout outs go to my four dogs, none of which have barked during the show because, once again, mom and stepson are on vacation in Wisconsin Dells, and I'm home alone with them. So, very well behaved by Yoshi, Ovi, Millie, and Maisie. But my real shout out goes to Butch Hobson. If you go on the American Association fan page on Facebook, somebody published a letter from Hobson to the Chicago Dog fans, thanking them for their support. And just a real, really classy gesture by Butch Hobson, just an all-time great manager in independent baseball. And, you know, as I think he stated in the letter, I don't think we've heard the last of him.
Oh, let's see, classy thing. We wouldn't expect anything less out of Butch Hobson. Just an amazing guy. My shout-out this week, Kevin, is a personal one to my niece, Elizabeth, out there, who for the second time, so she was born, didn't realize this was a problem when she was born because it was just something that she went on with her whole life. But she was born with a hole in the inner canal of her ear, inside the eardrum, between heading toward her brain. And so she could literally hear everything that was going on inside her body. So like her heartbeat and digesting food and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't imagine how troublesome that would be. But again, she thought that was just natural until it wasn't. And then she had the surgery a few years ago to have that repaired. It did not hold. She had to have another surgery where they cut a big spot into her skull and shifted her brain over to be able to fix this spot. And fortunately right now, it sounds like it took. So to my niece out there, I say, get well soon. And I'm glad that you're doing well. So weird surgery, Kevin, but I'm glad she's doing okay.
Prayers to her. And wow, courageous young lady.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, next week, Kevin and I will have Lake Country Dockhound broadcaster Dom Stern will come back to join us again. He will be returning to the club next year, or this year, I should say, I found out. So he'll be joining us, and that'll be pretty exciting because Dom did a pretty good job last year, we thought, and looks like he's got a bright future in baseball.
And that's good. That's good that they're going to shoot for continuity with their broadcast. I think that's very important, especially for clubs in this league, and to have every broadcaster have a feel for his job instead of every year starting fresh. So I think that's good to hear that Mr. Stern will be back for a second season. And he immediately starts to skyrocket up the broadcaster seniority list.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And you know, what I like about it too, Kevin, new franchise, you know, only going to be their third year. And if you find a guy that you really think is going to be a talented voice for your club, I mean, think about how this guy could be there 10, 15 years if they really stuck with him. Think about like Brad there in Cleburne and how, you know, how he's made that into something super special out there. And really, it's just as connected to the community as anybody in Cleburne right now. And I think that could really be Dom Sturm there in Oconomowoc.
That could very well be if that's a route he wants to go.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin and I once again want to thank Davis Feldman for joining us this week. And so we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.